Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem, and happy July 5th to you. Ted?
Yes.
Hope you had a good 4th of July.
Yeah, it was good. Nice little break, a little relaxing in the park with some patriotic music played by the community band yesterday.
Oh,
a lot of fun.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to have a great show today. You notice that maybe a little different the theme music, and make a few adjustments in the program here over the course of the weeks ahead, and I hope that you'll find it just as engaging, because today we're going to talk about freedom. You know, yesterday we celebrated freedom as a nation. Today we're going to talk about freedom from addictions and have some powerful testimonies to share with you. I want to introduce our guests in just a moment. First, I want to mention that we just launched, or are launching, I guess we can put it that way, the Live Free Challenge. It starts in August, but July is the month to sign up.
That's right. A faith and fitness challenge we're doing, partnering with the International Justice Mission, IJM it's known as, and also Venture, a great ministry there too. You can get all the details at myfaithradio.com. Basically, you sign up, try to achieve your fitness goals, and get people to sponsor you. We're going for a $50,000 goal,
which will help to bring about, we believe, or at least repair some broken justice systems, and perhaps rescue some victims. I mean, so it's a great cause. Sex trafficking, sadly, is not something foreign to our communities. Mm-hmm. And there's just something, actually, I was reading in the news just this weekend, just a local hotel had arrested a trafficker. So this is ongoing. We want to be a part of making a difference. You can sign up today online, myfaithradio.com. Also, a quick reminder, too, that this Sunday is Pray Together Sunday. The National Association of Evangelicals are inviting, looking for a million believers to be gathering in prayer this Sunday. You can find out more at nae.net or a link on our website as well. Let's jump into today's conversation. We are honored to have back with us in studio Pastor Rich Scherber. Rich has been the executive director of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge since 1992. Minnesota Teen Challenge is a faith-based drug and alcohol program for teens and adults, and they serve hundreds of people now and any given day across nine locations, and the program employs dozens of people now, and it wasn't how it started out when Rich got involved back in 1982. Rich has a BA from Northwest University in Washington, an MA in psychology and counseling from the University of Wisconsin. He worked for a time as missionary representative for the Assemblies of God churches in the Orange Free State area of South Africa. And we are honored to have him along with several guests who are staff members at the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, as well as a couple that are in the program. And obviously our focus, you know, the conversation will maybe focus on specifically what's going on at the Minnesota program, but know that Teen Challenge is a wonderful ministry, and we'll give you a phone number where you can connect here to find out maybe where there's help and hope in your area, because, Rich, that is really what it's all about. It's about help and hope, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we're so thankful, Neil, for this relationship we've had with KTAS over the years. You guys have been a great ally. Thank you so much. And the need is so great in our community. I wish we were talking earlier before the program started about, I have an article recently, that I brought with me today that shares that addiction is worse than it's been in a decade. Things are not getting better. You can't pick up the newspaper without seeing some story of heroin addiction. Meth is on a rise as well. And, there was recently on the Minnesota Department of Health website, an article that said that the average Minnesotan pays, just alcohol alone, you pay over $920 per individual, the costs associated with alcohol addiction. So it's just epidemic all around us. And we continue to grow. There are over 850 of these teen challenge programs. We call ours Adult and Teen Challenge. We serve adults and teens across America. And there are Teen Challenge stations in every one of the regions where KTIS affiliates are located.
We're grateful for that and thankful that there's a program like Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge or Teen Challenge. This is not a, as you said, it's not a problem that's going away. You've been helping adults as well, and that's partly because, right, this addictions are not easy to break, right? So, I mean, it's one thing when a teen can get help, but the fact is that adults carry it with many times too, right?
Well, it's epidemic, and we see, and since I think this is a trend across the United States, alcohol by far is still the worst drug that we see come in, and most addictive drug where people come in for treatment. In Minnesota, 1 out of 7 Minnesotans have a DWI on their record. It is epidemic. Last night, me and my wife went to fireworks, then we were driving home at 11 o'clock last night, and we passed several people just in a 15-mile stint that were weaving so over the road. It was one guy was going about 80 miles an hour past us, and it was solid traffic, I mean, and swerved over 3 lines. It's just... It's a epidemic out there, and we do see, as you said, Neil, the need is probably far greater with the adults than teens, because adults, it catches up to you, and as you'll hear today on the stories.
Both a 1-year program and a shorter one as well, right?
Yes, so, we have a 28-day, 60-day licensed inpatient program, and then we have our 1-year program. Last year, over 3,245 individuals came into one of our programs in Minnesota. It's actually now 10 campuses, and we're just in the process of opening our 11th campus, so we are expanding rapidly.
Rich, I think we should probably, talk all along about, kind of the philosophy and some of the ways that Teen Challenge works to see life change, but maybe it's just as good to hear from stories from people that have experienced it, and you've brought some of the team with you today, so who do we want to start with? Do we want to start with James or Sarah?
It doesn't make a difference. James, maybe you want to start.
James, let's just get your, story here and introduce yourself. You're now on staff with Teen Challenge, right? So,
Yes, I've been on staff at Teen Challenge for the last 18 years. Right. I came into Minnesota Teen Challenge back in 1997, addicted to crack and heroin. My addiction was so severe that I didn't know what to do. So I heard a pastor in Northeast Minneapolis told me about Teen Challenge. And I came into the program, they told me it was a year-long program, and that scared me. There's no way on earth I can do a year in this place. And it's been 18 years. I don't know when God's going to set me free. So I'm just happy to be there, to work there. It's quite a place to work. I started at a very young age smoking marijuana. I grew up in Mississippi. At 13, 14 years of age, we started smoking marijuana, skipping school, stealing out of stores. And by the time I was 17, I was on the football team, all happy about being a football player, and my grandmother died on a Sunday morning and in church, and I lost it. Shortly after that, I moved away to Chicago, where my mom was living, and in Chicago is where I was introduced to the gangs. And 17, I thought that was a glamorous way to live. We stood around on corners selling marijuana all day, and we went to bed with money in our pockets that night. And we thought that, wow, this is life. My mom all along begging me to go to school, go to church, but none of that was in my eyesight anymore. Selling marijuana was the way to go. By the time I was 19, I was introduced to heroin, and we started off selling heroin, making more and more money, and one day I decided to, everybody was scrambling for this stuff, so I thought I'd give it a try, and worst mistake of my life. I snorted my first line of heroin when I was 19 years old, and from there, at first it wasn't that bad, but as time went on, it became a sickness. I had to have it on a daily basis. And I joined the Black Gangster Disciples when I was 17 years old. And we roamed the city, you know, taking, selling. And we thought that was life. Didn't know any better. By the time I was 22, I had grown tired of selling. You know, I just had got tired. So I asked this man for a job, and he gave me a job working on a garbage truck. I worked on a garbage truck for about, I don't know, 3-4 months. And one day he called me up and said, "How'd you like to be a chauffeur?" Well, wow, that's a big step up. I'll take it. I became his personal chauffeur and more of a bodyguard for his son than anything, because he had a little 10-year-old boy who I spent a lot of time with. Not knowing that I was getting into something that was going to take me the rest of my life to try to get my way out of. My boss was a mafia boss. I had no idea what I was getting into. Him and some of his henchmen, they tried to assassinate one of the big bosses in Chicago. They shot this guy in the head, but he didn't die. My boss fled the country for 2 years. Made me the manager of a local pizza place, and I don't know nothing about pizza. He said, "Well, just count money and take it to the bank. That's all you need to do." So that was my job, count money at night, taking it to the bank. The guys that did the shooting were found dead a couple weeks later. Throat cut, shot in the head with a plastic bag over their heads. Now I'm counting all this money at night, and there's nobody there to watch me. I'm the boss. So I goes back to my part of town, and I hire all Gangster Disciples. We got our own pizza place. I'm 24 years old. I thought I was the head man in the mafia now. And we sold marijuana. We had, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 guys out selling marijuana for us by this time. So we sat back at night and smoked up $3,000-$5,000 worth of crack and heroin a night for over 2 years. And I couldn't, you know, that much drug should have killed me, but it didn't, thank God. And my boss came back to the country about 2 years later. He was gone for 2 years before he came back. And when he came back, I got cut from the bottom of my stomach up to my chest and left in an alley to die. But I survived, thank God. And I still didn't come to my senses. And I didn't know what to do with life. Just lost, rambling around. My easy job was gone, so the money wasn't there anymore. So we formed a little crew of 4 of us, and we robbed drug dealers. That's what we did. We robbed drug dealers all over the city of Chicago. We cased drug dealers out. They had money, they had drugs, they had the things we wanted. We never robbed civilians because it just wasn't the right thing to do. Thank God my grandmother's teaching left me with some morals, you know. But we would rob all over the city and hide out at night. And then
let's leave people hanging right there on that story, because we're going to find how the story changes in just a moment. Thankfully. We're thankful that God's done a work of transformation in James' life. As you hear his story, I think that's reality for the way people are living today. And maybe you, as someone in your family, you know it. Hang on for some good news. We're talking freedom today on this, the day after Independence Day, about freedom from addiction and how Jesus can set you free. We want to just encourage you to stick around. Talking today with the staff and the members clients at the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Rich Sherber is the executive director with us, along with James and Sarah, and we'll meet Angela and Nikki in a little bit as well. But we're coming right back here in just a moment. We're talking freedom today, freedom from addiction. Yesterday, Independence Day for our nation, yet there are millions addicted and enslaved to drugs and alcohol, and I want to find out what freedom from those addictions are like. James is on one of the staff members at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. He's been telling his story. He was working for a mafia boss in a gang, smoking crack each night. James, you your boss came back. You lost your job. You're robbing other gang members. This is not a healthy lifestyle. Talk about the turning point for you.
Well, the turning point for me was after I gotten stabbed, I left Chicago, moved to Minnesota. Here in Minnesota, I continued doing the same type of thing. But in 1997, a pastor in northeast Minneapolis, he would not leave me alone. This man would come to my house every Sunday morning knocking on the door, and I wouldn't answer the door. He'd come to the window knocking. So finally, he got me to go to church in northeast Minneapolis, and he knew I needed help. I didn't know it, didn't want to know it, but he took me to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge back in 1997. And when I got to Teen Challenge, I didn't want to be there. It was a year. Didn't sound too good, but I decided that I was going to give it a try. I tried everything else, so I went into Teen Challenge, and that's where I met Pastor Rich. He was another one that wouldn't leave me alone. When I wanted to leave Teen Challenge, he was right there saying, James, you need to stay. You need to do an internship. So at Teen Challenge, the teachings I got there is what turned my life around. To see people caring for one another, something I really hadn't seen since I was a kid. And that motivated me to want to be better. And I graduated Teen Challenge in 1997. I did an internship in maintenance. And I don't know nothing about maintenance. Here I am again in a position where I don't know nothing about maintenance. But on that roof, we used to sing and pray, and it grew on me. And after that, I wanted to, just go on with my life. But as I say, Pastor Rich was there saying, no, James, you need to stay on. And I stayed on as a staff member. And later on, this same man, Pastor Rich, told me I needed to go to Bible school. So I went to Bible school. And in 2000, I got my minister's license. And I became a pastor of Bread of Life Church in South Minneapolis on Lake Street there. I was the third pastor at that church. Pastor Carolyn sent me. She came one day and said, pack your bags. You're going to England. I don't know nothing about England. But I did it. I went to London, England for the first time. In England, I met Pastor Nick Adams. And I got an opportunity to speak at the London Teen Challenge, which was very exciting for me because for the first time in my life, I was doing something that mattered. And at that Teen Challenge, I saved a guy. He was walking out. I begged him to stay. He stayed. And his life turned around. I'm still in contact with him today. He's been doing great ever since. A year later, me and Pastor Nick decided to go to South Africa. We go into Portsmouth Prison in Cape Town, South Africa, where we would go in and minister for hours to the inmates. And it's what a thrill it was to see all these young gang members giving their lives over to God. And we went on peace marches in South Africa. Luther College was there. We went on a peace march with Luther College from, I think it's Iowa they're from. Mm-hmm. And that really motivated me to want to help more. And that Teen Challenge on a daily basis, I have an opportunity to help so many guys that come in.
Thankful for your powerful testimony. I know there's a lot more that we should hear and would love to hear, and hopefully people have a chance to hear it sometime when you're out speaking, because I know you're traveling the world speaking as well as the Ministry of Teen Challenge. It just before we get to introduce Sarah, I just wanted to ask, you talked a couple times about, when you moved to Chicago, your mom begged you to change. And I'm thinking, well, there's probably a lot of moms right now saying, what more could I do? You also talked about a pastor that kept knocking on your door. Just say a word about other people. You weren't willing to listen to others, but that doesn't mean they should give up, shouldn't they?
No, you should never give up. I thank God for my mom who never gave up. She continued to pray. She continued to tell me I could do better. I could be better. Pastor Tom Eli, he wouldn't stop neither. So there is never give up. There's always hope if we just keep knocking. It takes time, but thank God I heard at last. And now my life has been turned around, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, Neil, that prayer is, we see so many walk through the doors that are here as a result of prayer of a grandma, prayer of a grandpa or a mom or dad. Those of you who are listening who have prodigal kids, don't give up praying. Prayer moves the hand of God.
We want to hear a little bit. James, thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Sarah is with us as well. Sarah, let's kind of get started. We got a few minutes before the break. Tell us a little bit about your background. When did addiction become a reality for you?
Well, I was introduced to IV meth use when I was 17 years old. I had a root of rejection that kind of set into me when I was around 5 years old. When my mom got pregnant at 16, my father left right away, and I got to meet him when I was around 5 years old. And that meeting, I felt like everything was going to be okay. We're going to be a family. And that didn't happen. And I didn't get to see him again. And he only lived about three houses down from my grandparents. So I would ride my bike past his house and hope he would come out and want to spend time with me or say hi to me. And that didn't happen. So that I just internalized that. And that root of rejection, I feel, just clouded every decision that I've made throughout my life and how I felt about myself. And so I made a lot of bad choices, and deciding to use meth at 17 was one that just really destroyed my life.
You know how we probably just need to be reminded again how important, how impressionable children are, you know, at any age. Mm-hmm. And those things can just, you know, send you on a track that, it was years to undo, wasn't it? So,
yes.
Yeah, let's take a quick, we'll get set up for our break here at the bottom of the hour, and I'll come back and hear a little more of Sarah's story. Rich, this just, when someone comes into a teen challenge, how are you able to kind of maybe deal with that rejection? You know, that's a deep root to get to get out. Isn't it?
Right. You know, the Teen Challenge has been around for going close to 60 years. Yeah. It's been tweaked and retweaked, and that's the health of a longer program. The majority of our residents are in our one-year program, and that's where you get the healing, Neil. It's designed in four different levels, and we don't address the painful issues the first few months they're in the program. We're focusing on their addiction and their use, and then when they're healthy enough, you address the more painful areas. That's the proper way to do it.
Yeah. Rich Sherber is the executive director of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge with us today, as well as several staff and clients at Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And we're hearing their stories today about freedom from addiction, and there's hope. That's the bottom line. We'll be back with more here in just a moment. You can find out more online at myfaithradio.com. Talking about new life in Christ, freedom from addictions, getting some stories about how lives have changed out of deep, dark pits. We heard James' story, his turnaround, amazing. Sarah just started telling her story using meth IV intravenously. That sounds pretty dangerous at about 17. That probably didn't bring you to a good place, did it?
Oh. No, that relationship was abusive, physically, sexually. I was in the hospital multiple times. That relationship brought two children from it, and also just a lot of damage. I didn't love myself when I finally came out of that relationship, and I made a lot of decisions that a person that doesn't love themselves would make. I had two failed marriages after that, and at the time, at my end of my second marriage, my mother was in remission from cancer, and she told me she had to move out of state because I was toxic to be around, and that really devastated me, and I just hated myself even more. And so I just decided to self-destruct, and I abandoned my children, and I left and went to another state where I ran harder than I've ever ran before. I started manufacturing methamphetamine. I caught a federal indictment. I was looking at 26 years to life. I was at the lowest of my low, and I cried out to God in my jail cell. And amazingly, within a couple months, I was in Minnesota in Teen Challenge. And the Lord has just been so good to me. Since being in Teen Challenge, I've got my children back. I have full custody of all my children. My relationship with my real father, we talk all the time. We have a great relationship. He's really supportive and loving God, and he loves the Lord. But, like, I have set free from, like, everything that ever tormented me in life, that I don't ever have to go back to those old ways and that old thinking. I'm just completely blessed by this ministry. It saved my life. My federal indictment, I ended up, instead of getting 26 years, I got 3 years of probation, which I was let off early for good time, which is never happens. It was only by God.
Because this is a federal indictment, yeah. Right? Yeah, they don't mess around.
During
they
the break, we were talking about this, Neil, that in the state system, when you usually serve about three quarters of your time, but on a federal charge, you always serve 100% of your time. And for the judge to drop 26 years of to life, this a minimum was 26 years off her charge, and the judge was so blown away by Sarah's performance and her growth and maturity. He just told her, go back and help the people of Teen Challenge, which she's done, I don't know, the last 7-8 years.
No, not yet. I will be someday. I went through the program in 2011, and I went on to their ministry school, which is amazing. And then I started working. So I've been there 3 years, I've 5 altogether if you count how long I've been around. But
well, so what do you tell the? Because you're just kind of helping all the girls there in the program, right? What do you say when they're having down days? Because I'm sure that to overcome addiction is no easy thing, is it?
I'm just there to love on them, encourage them, disciple them, just everything I learn daily on my own journey, I just get to pour into them and just love them. Love them right where they're at.
Yeah. It just reminds us that the addiction is, I think we just wonder about that. How can it be so all-consuming that it can just lead you down a path where you just, literally, you know you're self-destructing, don't you?
Yeah. I just didn't know any other way. I didn't want to deal with the pain, didn't know how to get away from it, and that's just the only thing I had at the time.
I'll tell you, Neil, when you start using meth, you turn into a different person, and there was a National Institute of Drug Abuse just came out with a statistic. They said in 2010, just there was 353,000 people that in America using meth. 3 years later, that had grown to 595,000. That's an increase of 60% in 3 years of meth has increased in the United States. And this was since a time 7-8 years ago when we took Sudafed and some of the antihistamines and those things off of the shelf. And now, in spite of it, there's so much meth coming in through Mexico, we're seeing this epidemic like we've never seen in Minnesota, and as well as the opiate addiction is terrible.
Well, we've talked in the past about, it used to be, alcohol and marijuana, maybe some things, but now we're talking heroin. That's a substantial dangerous drug, methamphetamines. Does it take longer to kind of come off of those, and do you do things different to the program as a result of that?
Oh, right. You heroin is a opiates are a downer, amphetamines are an upper. And by the way, it's interesting. Both of my daughters are medical doctors, and they'll tell you it's the medical community is fueling these with the antidepressants and the opiates for pain killing. We're seeing good, healthy, normal people turning into raging drug addicts because of their treatment they're getting oftentimes from the medical community. It's got to change. Yeah. We're seeing the other end of it. The doctors won't prescribe their opiates anymore or their amphetamines. Then they turn to the harder drugs, the street drugs, and that's where life really gets out of control.
Sarah, we were talking about Independence Day. I mean, the talk about maybe the day that you kind of knew that, hey, this doesn't have a hold on me anymore or a grip on me. And just what was that like to just sort of come to that realization, say, you know, I don't need this?
I had a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit during a spiritual emphasis week at I think I was in short-term at the time program, and I just had an encounter with God, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have never felt so much love that every high that I've ever sought out, because my addiction was so bad at the end that I was only injecting into my neck, and so that was insane to me. And the Lord just blessed me with this experience that was, he's like, this is what high feels like. This is my love for you. And I literally was just torn apart by that. And from that moment on, I was like hit the ground running. I was so on fire for the Lord. I never was going to look back. And I just wanted to serve him every day from now until eternity. Like, that was my freedom moment. And it just keeps getting better.
Well, praise God. We want to see that moment replicated time and time again.
Yeah.
Because, Rich, as you know, is at the heart of the ministry. I mean, it is about transformation through Christ, right? I mean, that is ultimately the only solution.
Yes, that's the only reason Teen Challenge is really working. Long-term program is where people really get the solid discipleship that they need. And with the level of addict who we're seeing walk through the doors at Teen Challenge, you put them through 3 weeks, 4 weeks of treatment, they're not even sober yet. And there is nothing out there. For our listening audience, if you have a family member that's chronic in their addiction and you are, we hear all the time, people are at wit's end. They don't know what to do. And they said, I wish I knew about you. There's a place they can go. Our Teen Challenge long-term program basically is free to those that do not have the ability to pay. I think about 95% of our people, adults that are in our long-term program, don't pay one penny out of pocket to be there. And this will break that addiction in their life.
Which should be a reminder, too, for those of us that know and care about the program, that our general support is making a big difference, right? Yeah. Because this is not a government program. This is a faith-based program right from the start.
Yes, yes. And so thankful to KTIS and their strong collaboration and support of the program. You guys, we are indebted to you. Thank you.
By the way, let me give a number out. You can call if you want to find out where there may be a program near you. There's now, 10, is it 10 different, or 11? 10?
They're just starting 11, yeah.
Starting 11 opportunities in the area, and you can find out, of course, maybe about a Teen Challenge near you as well. 612-373-3366 is a phone number to call. 612-373-3366 would be a good connection. Let's take a break now, Ted, and then we'll come back. We want to introduce Angela and Nikki and tell their story. Sarah, thank you for what you're doing, and keep it up.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We've heard Sarah's story, James' story. We're going to hear from Angela and Nikki in just a moment. We're talking the Teen Challenge today with Rich Serber, Executive Director of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, and a team here today offering some hope and encouragement in the celebration of freedom on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. I'm connected with Pastor Rich Sherber, who's Executive Director of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. He's been in that role since 1992. It's an amazing story of, and when he came on board, this nonprofit was thousands of dollars in debt, had been forced to suspend operations. Rich decided that he was going to kind of rehab an old dilapidated building, and this has become one of the largest drug rehabilitation programs of its kind in the country. And they're just actually, I think, opening up their 11th campus or a program. And so we're thankful for that. And he's brought with several staff and members of the Teen Challenge. And Rich, I think we'll hear a little bit of Nikki's story next. Nikki, why don't you just share what God's laid on your heart and tell us a little bit about your journey?
All right. So my name is Nikki, and I'm going to share my story with you. But first, I'd like to pray. God, I just thank you for calling me to be a part of so many miracles and just watching them before my very eyes. I just pray, God, that you take my hand as I share my heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
So my name is Nikki. My story starts 30 years ago when I was born to two parents in Rochester, Minnesota. I didn't grow up in a church, but my parents did well at making me feel loved and supported. I was an average tomboy running around catching fireflies, climbing trees. I was a happy kid. My life took a dramatic turn when I was 11 after I witnessed a fight between my parents. It was the first time I had ever seen anything like this between them, but it was a pretty severe fight that was almost fatal to my mother. So from this point forward, I began searching for the answers of why and how my father could turn from my hero to a monster in the blink of an eye. I also felt a strong need to protect him, and the only way that I knew how to do this was to be silent. So I withdrew from everything, socially, physically. I just didn't want to be a part of anything anymore, and I stuffed all of my emotions. At age 15, I was introduced to methamphetamines. From the very first time I felt the effect of the drug, I felt a weight lift. I felt a shift in perspective. I felt like I could go home, shut my door, and not worry about the dysfunction on the other side of it. I felt free. Little did I know, this would lead to a 15-year cycle of complete and total destruction. I lost everything. I not only used drugs, I manufactured, I sold drugs. I engaged in criminal activity, toxic relationships. I've been through several treatments. I've been involved in child protection, and I even lost custody of my own two little boys. But I always went back because I couldn't seem to quiet that voice inside my head that told me that I was unlovable, that I was unworthy, that life was hopeless, and that the shame I felt I deserved. So there I sat in the Olmsted County Jail once again, and something sparked inside of me. I heard a small, still voice tell me, "Nikki, there's more to life than this. There's hope on the other side of this thing." And from that moment, I wasn't ready to die. I, for the first time in a long time, did not want to let meth kill me. And that filled me with enough hope to bring me through the doors of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Since I've been here, I've forgiven myself for not being able to save my mom that night. And also for my father for letting his emotions lead him. My family's being restored in a way I could never even imagine. I'm able to see my children, be a part of their lives. Like I said before, I didn't grow up in church, and Teen Challenge brought me to the Lord. The Lord has picked me up out of the miry pit that I once lived in, and he's set me on that solid foundation. And since then, I've entered a season of my life of Luke 5:5, but because you say so, I will. And it's just been the ultimate gift. It's been more than I could have ever imagined it to be. So I thank everyone for their support.
Amen. Nikki, thank you for sharing your story, and thank God for the work in your life, and that you heard that voice, and that you're still listening to God's voice as he directs you, and pray for continued restoration and opportunity to serve him in powerful ways. Angela, tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I was not born into a family, a lovable family. I was born into a family. I'm a product of an affair. My father still will not admit that I'm alive. And so that has also been a root of rejection in my life that has caused a lot of pain. I actually ran away from home. My fourth stepfather at the time tried to end the life of me and my mother. They were alcoholic parents who were very abusive to each other and then in turn to me. So I ran away from home and I ran to Dallas, Texas for a couple of years where I was involved in high crime with the cartel as well, running automatic weapons and cocaine. I was found a couple years later in a hospital bleeding from cervical cancer. And I was arrested and brought to a home in Reamer, Minnesota, where I was introduced to Christ and was given an opportunity to learn about him, but I just did not feel worthy. I was released at the age of 17 back into the same environment that I had originally had left from, and that started my 20-year career in the methamphetamine game as well. Methamphetamine became the air that I breathed. I had to have it at all cost. And so I did what I had to do to get it. I was also a manufacturer for many years. I was arrested in 2001 facing, it was a maximum of 150 years in federal prison. There was a fire in my garage and, so I was cooking methamphetamine and I've almost lost my life to that too, just standing right outside the door. However, the Lord had other plans for me. Most of my life, again, running methamphetamine and drugs and men and the life, the criminal activity. 2005, I was arrested, again, selling methamphetamine to a police officer. And at that time, I had had a child a few months earlier, and I decided that this was enough. I tried to use that opportunity to change my life. And when I gave my life to the Lord, I had hundreds of people in my community in Freeborn County. I'm from Albert Lea that walked alongside me and tried to show me what God was all about and that he loved me. And I thought that that was going to be it. And unfortunately, it was not. See, I fought against drugs for all these years. I went to college, political science is my major. I actually lobbied with the GOP. I was a delegate trying to get the pseudoephedrine off behind the counter because I knew I was going to fight against the drug. But see, I was fighting against the drug. It wasn't with God fighting against the drug. And so, again, in 2014, I was arrested for sale again, and I came to Teen Challenge. And this place has literally saved my life. The difference is 10 years ago when I gave my life to the Lord to now is that Teen Challenge is teaching me how to have a relationship with the Lord, having a relationship with him and reading my Bible. Those are the two things that are key for anyone in recovery. This is what will save your life.
Amen. Yeah, there's really no other way around it, isn't it? I mean, we can white knuckle and do our best, but that's not. Yeah. That ultimately is going to come up short.
Yeah. And Neil, we'd ask if our listening audience would pray with us. Both these girls are from southern Minnesota, and there is basically in Rochester area, which is Minnesota's second largest population center outside of the Twin City area, virtually almost nothing for inpatient. There's lots of outpatient program, but that's not going to help you with the level of addict we see walking through the doors. And we're in the process of opening and trying to get opened a 75-bed women's facility. And we've seen a lot of growth in the last couple of years, and this is going to take a miracle. So please, if all our listening audience will pray with us that this happens, the need is so great down there.
Angela, you obviously, you know, college educated, you knew the issues, and yet until you really got plugged in day by day with the Lord, it really didn't. The knowledge didn't really do it for you, did it? It wasn't the answer.
It did not.
So glad that you shared your story and that God has continued to work, and believe that He will continue to use you when you get out here in 4 months or so.
Yes,
count
sir.
Woohoo! Yeah. Count the days. Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting too, Neil. She was, you just heard Angela's story. She was in law school. She was going to be an attorney. We've had people, sometimes we think, and today we brought in more desperate stories, but people might think if they're listening, well, you know, my addiction isn't that bad. We have doctors, we have lawyers, we have businessmen come in to the shorter program, and sometimes even the longer program. And so this program is for the middle class, every addict out there that needs help, consider this program, because this will really break that addiction.
And it has to be the time is important, and the relationship, the fellowship of, you know, you're living with fellow travelers, aren't you? I mean, and there's no one there that doesn't know probably what you've gone through, right? So.
Absolutely. And the anointing on this program is that's what it's all about. God has anointed this program through Pastor Rich to help us.
Yeah. And Nikki, I'm sure you just as you shared your story, just knowing that there's a family support there, right? It's not, you're not just on your own trying to do this.
But I felt loved as a child, but I have never felt this much love in one place. It's amazing.
2 weeks ago, we were down in Rochester. I ran into Nikki's mom, and I asked Nikki's mom. I said, "If Nikki had not come into the program, where would she be right now?" And your mom, Nikki, broke into tears and said she would be dead. And that's the case in many who are in the long-term program.
This Teen Challenge has a success rate, I guess we're just talking numbers, I mean, significantly higher than many other programs.
I have a book. It was written by Joseph Califano. It's called High Society. If anybody wants to find it, you can find it on Amazon. Joseph Califano runs the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse. In this book, he says one of the most successful programs he knows of in the United States is the Betty Ford Center Hazleton program. And he said their success, says in the book, is average about 30%, which is huge. We did two outcome studies with the Wilder Foundation on our long-term program. Both of them, the first one showed 74%. Of our graduates reported no drug use over the previous 6 months after graduating, and the second study showed 76%. And so these are very, very high. And you don't come into a one-year program, too, Neil, unless you have a pretty serious addiction. So these were some of the worst addicts around, and yet we had one of the highest successes around as well.
What would you ask people to pray for, maybe you and, you know, your fellow travelers at the Teen Challenge and Rich? What are the prayer needs? What comes to mind?
Well, for me, I feel that Teen Challenge is going to be a part of my life for the rest of my life, and so we are really looking for support for this new campus down in Rochester. Being in between the cities and down in Albert Lea, so we're kind of on the corridor there of I-90. The need there is astronomical as well. So prayer for continued support for the Rochester campus, as well as our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we will continue to walk in his path and not our own.
Yeah, I just want to share too, please have all Christians who are listening, will you pray for the people come through our program, that they will finish the program with this warm weather? It's such a lure. After you've been sober for a couple months, you just feel you got it together, and you don't. Mm-mm. You need to persevere and finish the program.
As you said, oftentimes it's coming out of those deep hurts. It takes several months just to get the addiction taken care of before you can deal with some of that healing. So, Angela, Nikki, James, Sarah, God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming, Rich. Good to see you. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless the ministry at Teen Challenge, that you would open up doors of opportunity for further ministry, that you would be especially with these friends that have come and joined us today, that we would see a life change take place in powerful ways in the days to come. If you missed a part of today's show, you can always catch it online. We post the interviews on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. I encourage you to check it out there. And we'll see you again tomorrow for Connecting Faith.